Hey, before we start today's show, I want to let you know that we have created a guide just for you, because choosing a cosmetology school is one of the biggest investments you're ever going to make. Most people just don't know the right questions to ask before they enter a cosmetology school. So that's why we've created a free video guide featuring over a dozen deep dive sessions on everything from financial aid to spotting school red flags, you know, the stuff you should avoid, to also just the truth about how to make more money in this industry. So don't start your journey blind. Get the uncut inside information you need to avoid the wrong school and start your career with confidence. You can get the guide by going to avedaidaho.com/guide. That's avedaidaho.com/guide. That link is also in our show notes. Now, here's today's show. Well, welcome to Uncut and Unfiltered Cosmetology Insights with Nathan Shaw, where we help aspiring and current beauty professionals like you master the business and the craft of cosmetology so that you can have a long, successful career. Your guide, as always, is Nathan Shaw. He's a dedicated educator. He's a working man's hairdresser. He built his cosmetology schools from his earnings from behind the chair, and he now shares his deep industry knowledge and experience to challenge misconceptions and to teach you crucial and practical skills you need to start and manage your career. So whether you're starting or you've been in the career of cosmetology, Nathan can help. I'm your host, Andy Traub. Today, we're going to talk about the first 12 weeks of your experience when you attend one of Nathan's schools specifically. What does that really look like? So Nathan, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having
me. You know, is it Grease? Is that the beauty school dropout song? Is it that?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. All right. So it's sort of a, if you said beauty school and you said, you know, what's the next word you'd think of? And sort of if you interviewed 100 people on the street, at least maybe if they're over 40, they might say, what word do you think of? And they'd say dropout, right? So the idea for this episode was, how do you avoid becoming a beauty school dropout? What can you do in the first 12 weeks to be successful? So tell us, what do the first 12 weeks look like? What is that program called for people that are in your program, in your schools?
We call the first 12 weeks of cosmetology foundations. And the amount of weeks is going to vary a little bit depending on the program, because the nail program, the aesthetics program, and the barbering program are much shorter. They don't go a full 12 weeks. But cosmetology, that really covers everything of all those except for, you know, straight razor shaves for barbers, is going to be longer. It's going to be 12 weeks, and it's going to dive into a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. So that covers and creates a foundation for the next few years, essentially?
Yeah, for the rest of school, and really to kind of set the stage for the foundational skills they'll need to know to be able to, like, you know, keep adding on as they go through the rest of school and into their career.
Awesome. So I'm assuming that there's not a lot of pressure in that first 12 weeks, because it's just like, hey, we're gonna do a foundation, as it's called. So it's not, What are people's experience in that first 12 weeks? I mean, I'm assuming not a lot of people drop out in the first 12 weeks because they're like, oh, I'm just getting a... It's a nice way to ease them into it, I guess, is where we're going, right?
Yeah. You know, you'll get a few that, like, maybe in the first couple of days, realize, like, oh, this is not what I thought, right? but most of them know it. There's not a lot of pressure. I think the pressure is more self-imposed.
Yeah.
And I can even speak a little bit to my own experience. You know, I remember when I started hair school, again, years ago, one of the first things we did in the first week was we were rolling perms on our mannequins, right? And trying to get the dexterity in my hands to, like, okay, you got to section off a piece of hair, you pull it out, you put end papers, these little, like, papers on the hair. You have to get those wet so the paper sticks. Then you grab a perm rod and you wrap it up. You got to keep the right tension and then connect the ends, right? Without it falling out. And yeah. You section out the head, and I think, you know, there's a bunch of little sections of, mini sections on the head of hair that you've clipped out. And I'm on my first section. I've got like five rods in. And it's just a struggle. My fingers didn't seem to want to do it. Like, I was like, I'll never be able to do it. And I looked over, and there was a girl that had done a bunch of home perms on friends and family for years. And she's like halfway through the entire head, maybe more than halfway. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember getting this kind of, you know, a funny story and slightly embarrassing with my behavior. But I got so frustrated, I grabbed my mannequin head off the stand, threw it in the trash, and stormed off. Like, I went into the classroom part where we did our theory work. And I remember like going through my head, I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
My hands don't work that way, right? And I peeked out from around the corner and I looked over at the area where the foundation students were working on the mannequins. They're all still there. And my instructor was super patient, had probably seen stuff like this before. I had seen she'd pulled the mannequin head out of the garbage. She put it back on the stand and was kind of like cleaning it up, getting it ready for, I think she knew I was going to return, but just like kind of like, let's let him, you know, she didn't, I don't think she said anything, but she knew I needed a minute. But yeah. I came back and did it. And then, you know, amazingly now the dexterity is something you learn and you figure out. But that's really what foundations is. It's learning like some of these new things you may have done before at home or on friends. Mm-hmm. I feel like most women have had a lot more experience than some of the guys like myself. But then on top of it, it's like learning like the foundational technical skills that everything else is going to build on so that when you start working with people, you're prepared.
Let's talk about something fun. Like, what's maybe a fun surprise people have when in that foundations? Do they sometimes have a reaction of like, this is school? Like, this is, I like all this stuff. I get to do this now. This is fun. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you do get some of that. Some where they're like, man, I'm going to get paid for doing this. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a, and so there's a lot of that where they're like, I love this. This is something I can do easily. I can see myself spending my days. Another one that's an aha is sometimes you'll have people, they've got in their mind what the cosmetology career looks like and what they're going to do when they graduate. And then they'll get into school and do foundations and they'll find something that was never on their radar that they suddenly have a love for and that totally kind of changes the trajectory of what they want to do within the career.
And we've talked about that in past episodes. So if folks haven't listened to those, I'd encourage you to go back. But we've talked about how people are often surprised by what they get drawn to a lot of times because they maybe just haven't been exposed to that, whether it's coloring or nails. I was never a big nail person, but suddenly they start doing nails and they're like, this is fun. This is tapping into something that I really like. That's an exciting, and I think that's another reason that foundations, for those of you starting your career or listening to this because you're a recent, you know, high school graduate and you're looking to go into cosmetology school, whatever it might be. But it's also a chance to just sort of taste, right? You get a taste of all these things without having to say. And I think that's one of the blessings of cosmetology school. It's not like, what are you going to school to do? And they don't have to say, oh, I know I have to do this. Now, I have a nephew who spent about $50,000 of my sister and my brother-in-law's money to figure out he did not want to be an engineer.
Yeah.
Right? Because he went to an engineering school. And, you know, that makes me sad. You know, I mean, yes, that's expensive, but it's also like that was 2 years of his life where he's, you know, had, you know, that's a lot of money too, you know, of figuring out that's not what I want to do, you know? So I love you have this foundation. So let's talk more about that. What are some other things that you do in foundation specifically? This is one I think you're secretly pretty passionate about. You kind of always hold back a little bit, but like color theory, like you are really big on like get color right. You're very passionate about that. So what is color theory as a foundational skill? What does that mean? What does that look like?
So color theory as a foundational skill, really, it's all about the end result. And when I say the end result, I'm talking more about the actual shade and tone of the color, right? It's very much, and this is where I scare students sometimes, I'm like, it's an algebra equation, right? And, you know, you think of first algebra when they come in and they're like, why are we throwing letters into math? You know, why is A plus B equals C?
Whoa, hold on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is not English.
And it's more about the fact, it's, you know, you have to take account what's on their head, like what do they have naturally? What are you adding? That's going to be a third and final result. And it's not like painting a wall where it's like, oh, I have blue on the wall and I went to paint over it with white and now it's lighter blue. It, you know, there's a bunch of other things that come into, it's a chemistry thing. And, you know, it takes chemistry, it takes the color wheel. There's a little bit of math in there, but ultimately, if you really understand it, you can get such predictable results with hair color, whereas the people that don't get it, they tend to be kind of one-trick ponies with hair color, or they never quite get the result they're looking for, you know, because they don't understand how to formulate properly.
Yeah. And I can imagine that that's really empowering when you figure that out, because, you know, it's like a mechanic that, you know, you bring them an engine and they're like, yep, there was a lady that works at the oil change place I go to. And, you know, I'm guessing that when people say, you know, I need an oil change on this car, she's like, okay. Like she can do any, whatever you bring her, she's good. She knows how to fix it. And I think about that with color theory of like, bring me anything and I'll figure it out, because it's just math, right? It's just math. So that's a cool skill to learn. What other things do you, because I think most people, if I'm approaching this right, are thinking hair and nails. That's sort of the larger scope of what they think they're going to do. But then you get into some other areas, color theory, maybe being a specific one, but what facials, things like that, what are some things that people get more exposed to from like, oh, I've always gotten that done, but now to learn how to do it, this is exciting and new. So what are the other things that are covered?
So that's just it. During the foundations, if you're a cause, for example, you're going to get a little taste of nails, from manicures, pedicures, to different types of artificial nails. You're going to go in that time, you're also going to do skincare. So you're going to do some facials, some waxing, you know, different microdermabrasions, some of the basics there. And then, of course, you get into the hair portion, and that's from coloring to cutting to styling to perms to, you know, formal hair or updos, as people like to call them. And it gives you kind of this wide array of the different things you can do or could do. And again, within that, sometimes you'll find people that like totally find a passion they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
You know, and partly I've owned waxing salons, so this is where I've seen it firsthand. But we've had people to wax professionally, you have to at least have an aesthetics license, but a cause, because they can do all of it, a cosmetology license can also do it. And we've had people that went through cosmetology wanting to do hair, and when that's all said and done, they're like, I love waxing. And they've made an entire career out of hair removal, just waxing, right? And
wow.
So it can really vary what they end up finding they love. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So talk about how you create a safe learning space. What does that mean for you as a person who builds and runs schools?
I think it's really just about giving them the opportunity, especially in that foundations. It's like, hey, you're going to have some mess ups. That's okay. That's what the mannequins are for. You know, they're not going to cry when you cut the hair too short, or, you know, you remove too much hair or wax the whole eyebrow off or whatever it is, right? So I think it's giving them that safety to like, hey, let's learn this skill, practice on this mannequin. And then, you know, if you may love it, you may hate it, but guess what? We're going to move on to the next thing and you might find a different passion there. And I think that's the part about safety, is like, you're going to find something that really draws out your passion, I think. And within that, you'll be able to kind of find your path, so to speak.
For those who are listening, I want to encourage you to also think about this. You know, I don't remember kindergarten being very stressful. It was just a safe place to sort of learn some basics, right? Even first and second, maybe like third or fourth grade, I had to start learning cursive. And I remember that being a little traumatic. You know, kids have to do that anymore. But maybe, you know, math started to get a little hard in fourth and fifth grade. But that foundational time early in our education, if you think of it, other than maybe some trauma from the playground, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It probably wasn't too hard. Not a lot of kids are failing second grade, right? It's because it's a foundational time. And I think that's what I'm hearing you talk about. And I want those who are listening to say, it's foundations. I mean, you can hear sort of in Nathan's tone. It's like, yeah, you might take the whole eyebrow off. And that's okay. That's how we learn. Like, yeah, you put on too much whatever, or you pulled this too hard. You're like, yeah, don't do that again. You know what I mean? But you learn. You know, you learned, you know, and I would encourage those, and if you're a parent, you know this. I mean, when does your kid bring you, you know, their drawing and you go, this sucks. This is horrible. That doesn't look like a giraffe at all. No, yeah, right. You don't do that. You say, good. Okay, well, let's try this. And I think that's what foundation sounds like to me. It's a safe place to go, okay, well, let's try that again and let's try to leave some of the eyebrow on. Mary, you know, okay, all right, you know, it's a safe place. So what would you say is something that if you're approaching this and someone's like, yeah, I want to pursue this, what is the most important mindset or if they could tell themselves one sentence every day before they open the door to go into that foundations for 12 weeks, what's something they should tell themselves before they walk in the door every day for 12 weeks about foundations?
I think really just being open to what they're going to learn that day, like just coming in and saying, hey, I'm going to be open-minded that like, I'm going to find something or figure out something today, learn something I haven't done before. And while it may be clunky, it's something I can master. Just kind of like also having that confidence, like I'm going to be open to it and knowing that with practice, I can master that skill. Because to my point, like the perm rods, right? I'm never going to be able to do the hair. And yet, I got very proficient at it and, you know, made a great career out of it. But it's, I think it's knowing that like, hey, everybody's starting at a different starting point, right? The girl that was next to me that was wrapping her whole head, she was, you know, she was about a decade older than me, had, you know, had kids that were already going to school and decided to go to hair school at that point. And she had done tons of perms.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we're not going to be at the same spot, right? But I've had an amazing career. So
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Too.
I love that. Tell yourself, I'm open to learning something new and I may not be great at it, but I can master it eventually. That's a very different, because it's also humbling, you know, because you're standing next to someone that, you know, maybe it's like, why are they so much better at me than this? And it's like, well, life experience, you know, or maybe they just pick it up. I mean, I look at talking about drawings, you know, a funny story, my kids, you know, kids early on, they look at their parents and they say, hey, you know, draw me this, daddy, or whatever. Very quickly, my kids stopped asking me to draw things for them because they realized, like, I don't draw. Like, yeah. Never mind, we'll ask mom, you know. but I could learn to draw. I just didn't, right? But it's, you got to be okay with not being, you know, good at something for a while, but you will learn it. That's why you're going to school, right? If you already knew it, why are you going to school, right? So let's talk about after the 12 weeks and you stuck out the 12 weeks, what should people expect to happen after the 12 weeks? How does it shift?
After the 12 weeks, you know, it's going to switch because that foundations period, they've got usually a smaller group with a dedicated instructor that's just there to help them through learning all that basics and those foundational skills. And then, you know, after that, they're going to do their theory every morning or however many mornings a week we schedule it, which is the book work. And then after that, it's going to be practice, right? It's going to be taking those things you've learned and using it on real clients in real time. Again, if they're not completely booked, they'll work on mannequins still and practice. But it's starting to execute those foundational skills at a more efficient level and just becoming, you know, efficient and proficient is maybe a better word. At those skills they've learned. Again, they're going to have instructors there to help them, but no one's like, now you're going to be able to like take those little foundational pieces and start to master them so you can feel prepared.
Can imagine, you know, weeks 13, 14, 15, maybe through 20 or so, maybe longer, people are still like, I'm going to do that now? Like people are going to come and I like going to touch their nails and like they're going to let me put these things on or I got the scissors are in my hand and like I'm going to cut this. You know, like there is a period of, oh, okay, here we go, right? It's a little scary for people, right?
Absolutely. I know I was terrified the first time. I'm like, I'm going to cut a real person's hair. Like I didn't want, you know, I'm like, man, if I mess up their hair, I don't want some girl crying or like, you know, having a panic attack because I mess up her hair. And so that was a very real fear for me. But like realize again, you have the support of an instructor there and they'll help guide you through it. And then, you know, you start getting a couple under your belt and you're like, I can do this. And it's really a confidence building time. But those first couple of weeks, like say 13 through 15, 16, they're definitely a little bit more touch and go with your confidence, but you can get through it and then you start feeling better.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Nathan. And I want to encourage you, if you are interested in school, in this career, then I want you to go download the guide that Nathan and his team have created. It's free. You can get that at the link inside of the notes from this episode, wherever you're watching or listening to it. That's a great place to start. And there's several short videos with myself and really the head of the admissions program that we've recorded. It's very simple to watch, pleasant, and you'll really enjoy her, and you'll learn a lot about guiding yourself into making a decision about this career. So Nathan, as always, thanks for your time, and appreciate your wisdom.
Appreciate it as well, Andy. Thank you.